As a young girl in Uganda, Abigail Bridgman was only partially aware of the influx of refugees from neighboring Rwanda, where a horrific intertribal genocide was underway. But some of its consequences were unavoidable.
I remember watching the news and being told about some rivers that were infested with human bodies, and they were telling people, please do not get water from that river. It's unsafe because there are bodies floating all the way from Rwanda and ending up in Lake Victoria.
As an adult, now living with her American husband in Sonoma County and holding a law degree in international criminal justice, Bridgman has recently come back from Tanzania, where she worked as part of the administrative legal staff for the United Nations International Tribunal for Rwanda. The main trials were concluded by the time she went, but she was assigned to work with the judges hearing a trio of appeals. That led to an unexpected and memorable encounter. She was assigned, Bridgman recalls, to take minutes at a meeting that turned out to include several men who had been previously acquitted.
I had no idea who they were. In 5 minutes into the meeting, I'm listening and things are starting to sink in, and I'm thinking, oh my God, these are the people I'm sitting with right now. I'm sitting there thinking, I should be listening and taking minutes, and half of me is looking at their faces, trying to look for evil or something that brings out the magnitude of what happened. And there's nothing. It's an average person like you and I.
She also came to understand that these men now lived in an odd state of international limbo.
These people are stateless. They don't have any status. They are not refugees in Tanzania. They are free, but they are not free. They can't or will not go back to Rwanda because of fear of persecution. They want to join their families who have traveled and settled. Some are in France, are in Belgium, in Canada. And they cannot because they are not getting any visas or travel documents. They don't have passports. They have nothing. And for me, that was stepping back and thinking, oh my God, I don't know how it feels to be in their shoes. So you're acquitted, but then there is this continued kind of a punishment.
It's a very different outcome, Bridgman observes, than for the acquitted defendants from the similar UN tribunal in the former Yugoslavia.
Think about when an acquittal happens in the tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. Somebody goes back home to a hero's welcome, to their home. But these ones who were taken out and tried at the tribunal, none of them was even arrested in Rwanda. They had already fled after the genocide. So they were picked up in foreign countries and brought to Tanzania, and they can't go back to the countries they were picked from. Neither can they go back to Rwanda.
Even so, she remains a strong admirer of the United Nations and its role in seeking justice in such difficult instances.
To me, the United Nations is one of the best institutions, notwithstanding its weaknesses, to take care of all human beings universally, no matter who they are or what they are. And for me to be able to participate in their work is the most fascinating opportunity I can ever get.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.